Well, I just want to welcome everybody to an online masterclass with Joanne Moody. And we're so excited that she is with us. Hello, Joanne. I'm going to say a little bit about you, but I'll let you say hi.
Good morning, everybody.
Yes, we're so excited to be with you. Now, you can read Joanne's bio, so I don't need to say much about that, but what a powerful story. Healed at a Randy Clark conference. Was in pain for 14 years. Is that right?
Yeah, 14 and a half, but who's counting?
Radically healed. And I know I shared, even she was featured on Fox News just recently. I shared a little bit of that. And I don't know how much of that you'll share, because I know they can watch that later. Author of Minute by Minute. And so encourage you to grab that book as well. But 3 years ago, 2.5, we were just talking about this. Joanne, I met her. Oh, let me press the recording here. I think I have it recording. I do. Okay. Well, we met in South Africa. We were on a trip with Brian Blount and Joanne, I feel like we hit it off when we met. It was like kindred spirits, going after God, all of that. But I just, one marking moment, I think, kind of showed the character of who you are. We kind of were on each other's teams as we taught in different places, and you were doing a leadership message to a bunch of leaders in a church, and I was on your team. And as you're speaking, all of a sudden the Spirit just starts really speaking to me, hits me, and oftentimes that'll involve like tears and stuff like that. And I was getting hit, and we locked eyes at one time, and you could tell, you knew I was getting hit. And so then, it's time for ministry time. We all line up. And, I had my words, even though I got it together enough to, put some words of knowledge down and stuff. And then you're like, we're going to do some ministry now. But Daniel, we're going to start with you. And then you turn at me. And then for 9 minutes, you prophesy. I fall on the ground. It was like a heaping mess. That word was so powerful, though. So that was my first time with you, and it was really, really powerful. And I love what the Lord is doing through your life, and it's so excited for you to just impart and share. So this first part of this gathering is going to be, Joanne's going to teach a little bit and share a little bit and kind of engage with you in the chat, have you do some reflection, and then we're going to do a Q&A in the second part. So Joanne, welcome. So excited.
Thank you so much. You know, everybody, it is a highlight when the Lord falls upon his people, and especially in that moment when I met Daniel. I mean, we had already known each other for a couple of days, but it was truly a moment where you needed great refreshing from God. And I never want to bypass an opportunity to be able to minister to hungry people, and especially people who pour out their life like you do and your team does. And I think it's an extraordinary privilege that we have to encourage one another and to esteem one another's lives and what you do with the Lord. I think we say what you're doing for the Lord. And honestly, I can tell you today that there's nothing we can do for the Lord. We can only partner with him. So it is my great privilege to be with you this morning. And just to say thank you to you, Daniel, for inviting me in. And just the way we get to partner with the Holy Spirit. We have this open invitation because of Jesus. And you might not feel like your life is very powerful, but I can tell you from heaven's perspective, you were elected to live in this time, and you were elected as a great kingdom harvester. And so that mandate is not just on your leaders like Daniel, it's on the body of Christ. And I'm so passionate about fulfilling the mandate of that, the gospel, that everybody is a kingdom expander. Everybody carries the message of the gospel of hope, the word and the Spirit. I'm so passionate about that, that that is the subject of my dissertation from my doctorate that I'm finishing up, because so often the body of Christ says, well, I'm just a lay person. I don't have the title of clergy. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a reverend. Let me tell you, as a child of God, you are carrying the fire of the Holy Spirit. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, then you are carrying the gifts of the Spirit. You may just not know quite how to unleash them. But I pray that in our time together, you will be built up and you will be encouraged this morning in a huge way. And I'll tell you that as a Christian in my adult life, I fell into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I literally got knocked out of my bed after I got saved, speaking in tongues, and I thought I'd lost my mind. I had no idea what that was. I was a recovering, you know, Catholic. I mean, I grew up in the Catholic Church, not charismatic. I love the Catholic Church, but I grew up in the non-charismatic Catholic Church, so I didn't have a grid for any of this. And when the power of God hit me in the middle of the night, knocked me out of bed, and I'm speaking in a language, I was like, get out of here. I have lost my mind. My lips were shaken, and this strange language came out, and I thought, ah, what's happening to me? And over the next few weeks, this powerful anointing fell on me, but I didn't know what to do with it. So many of you have not had experiences like that, but I'm telling you that the kingdom of God is crashing in on people who are hungry. And during my years, many of you know my story of the 14 and a half years I suffered with nerve damage and 13 surgeries. I died on an operating table in 2005, bleeding to death, hemorrhaging from a botched surgery. I met the Lord in 2005 out of my body. You know, those scriptures are clear. When you're out of your body, you're present with the Lord. And I was. He spoke to me and gave me a choice to come back. You know, at the time, I can honestly say, until he showed me my family, I really didn't want to come back. I was in the presence of the love that I'd never, ever experienced, that magnitude of love, complete acceptance, complete holiness, complete reverence of God. But he gave me this choice to come back. And because I saw my son, who was just barely 6 years old at the time, and my husband, and I just knew the Lord said, there's much work for you to do. I had no idea what that work would be until many years later. But I came back. And for the last 14 years, I've been traveling with a team of ordinary people who are extraordinary because of Jesus. We have a team of 130 people with our Agape Freedom Fighters ministry team, and we go all over the world training and equipping the body of Christ for the works of the ministry. As Paul wrote, we have works that have been prepared for us to do in advance. And so I want you to be encouraged today that God has more than you can hope, imagine, dream, or even think. And during my time of suffering, suffering, I didn't understand that I wasn't suffering unto something. And I think what happens with us as human beings, when people are long time suffering, we tend to ascribe to the Lord this idea that he's causing the suffering. Well, is God a good father? I mean, put that in the chat. Do you know God's a good father? He's a good father, and his purposes and plans are unrelenting in goodness for his people. He's a great father, right? Somebody just said that. So the idea that suffering on this planet is God's fault is permeating our culture all over the world. But the enemy, your true, very true and present enemy, wants to kill you and destroy you. And what the enemy uses for evil, God will turn for good, right? We know that in the scriptures. Amen. So while I was suffering, I needed strength. And there was no strength in the medical industry for me. Basically, they just, another surgery and it would fail, and another surgery, it would fail. I was in chronic, debilitating pain 24/7 and on 7 different opiate medications. So where was my hope? You know, the scripture says, I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that's what I did every morning, 4 a.m., hanging on to the word of God. And I began to lean into a spiritual discipline that I encourage you to do in this day and time in history, to learn the names of God in Hebrew. Not because I'm a religious person, but because I needed God to be bigger than my problems. Do you need God to be bigger than your problems? You need God to be bigger than your situation, bigger than your wayward children or parents or family that's not walking with God. You need to be able to be overwhelmed by the majesty of God. And Isaiah 55:11 is so clear. It tells us that the word of the Lord never returns void. So we need the word, we need the spirit, right? Jesus walked with the power of the spirit, power of the word. So we don't dilute one for the other. It is an and both. And this is how the kingdom of God expands. Amen? All right. Put amen in the chat and let's go. So Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word of God that you know is sharper than any two-edged sword is our promise. Say, it's our promise and it's our provision. The Word of God is our source of life and reminds us that God is our very present help in times of trouble. Psalm 46:1. So I would pray the Word of God. I would write scripture. I would memorize it, and it would become the sword in my mouth against pain. Some of us have grown very weary in just walking with God. I'm telling you, if you begin to speak the Word of God into your circumstances daily, that's not a religious practice, everybody. That is a supernatural equipping force against the powers of darkness.
Amen. That's right? So good.
All right. Psalm 8:1 says this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Be overwhelmed. He's big. He's huge. He's got your end result in his hands, and he holds you in his heart. Psalm 1:3-4 says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? If he knows when a single hair falls from your head, don't you know that he has good intentions towards you? So we're going to dive into some scripture and looking at the Hebrew names of God, because we're going to pray through certain aspects of your life. And I know by the power of the Holy Spirit that you are going to begin to see mountains move in your life, because God, who is no respecter of persons, adores you. And God is for you. So if he's for you, what can the enemy do to you? If God is for you, who can come against you? We got to shift our perspective this morning and stand on who God is, his character, his nature, his word, and the power of his spirit that champions your life and your destiny. The name above all other names is El Elyon. El Elyon is the God Most High. And this name of God that you need to have in your heart, it includes the fact that he is the grand designer. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is within them. Creator God is also the attribute most often ascribed to the name of God that we use often, Yahweh. So God is Yahweh, the great I am, and the great I am brings all things into existence. That's Exodus 3:14. Yahweh and El Elyon also denotes God's sovereign control. Is God sovereignly in control of your circumstances? Type yes in the chat. He is, no matter what it looks like. He's in control of your circumstances. So El Elyon, Yahweh, he has sovereign control. He has authority. He has dominion over all things. And that's found in Daniel 7:18 and Psalm 7:17. Yahweh, El Elyon, God Most High, is self-existent, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's omniscient and he's uncreated, but he's ever-present and he's always been and he ever will be God. Amen. Okay, so let's go to the New Testament. I want you to flip. If you've got a Bible, like, mark these passages. They're so powerful. John 8:58, Jesus says, very truly, I tell you that before Abraham was born, I am. Very truly, I tell you that before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus establishes his claim to divinity by identifying himself with the God of Israel. So that's what led to the Pharisees' charges of blasphemy. He claimed to be God. So he claimed the name of God, El Elyon, the great I am, because Jesus and the Father are one. So I want you to see something with me in Matthew 26. Turn to Matthew 26 and jump down to verse 36. I want to show you something very specific in the Word of God. I want to paraphrase this for time's sake, but Jesus in this passage, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asks the disciples to keep watch and pray, right? Because he's very sorrowful at this point. The word says, even to the point of death. In verse 40, he finds the disciples what? asleep. They fall asleep. He tells them to rise because Jesus knows in this moment he's about to be betrayed. Jump down to verse 47. The word says, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and elders of the people. All right, we're going to jump over to John 18, verses 4 through 9. And we're starting in verse 4, and it says this. It's the same story. Jesus, knowing all that was coming upon him, stepped forward and asked them, whom are you seeking? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And the text in our English version says that Jesus replied, I am he. And Judas, his betrayer, was standing with them. Verse 6, when Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. All right, I want to show you something here. Even though our English Bible translations say that Jesus responded, I am he, commentators and theologians say that the he was absent. Jesus simply responded, I am. These are the Greek words, ego, eimi, I am, the same words that God used when he spoke to Moses on Mount Horeb in Exodus 3:14. So understand that the Greek word used to describe the mob falling backwards is the word apercomai. And in this case, it depicts the soldiers and the temple police staggering and stumbling backward as if a force hit them so hard and pushed them to the ground. Supernatural power, supernatural presence, majesty, the holiness of God manifested in the word I am, and the whole mob was knocked to the ground under his sovereign name. Get that in your mind. The same word, I am, Jesus Christ, that same power, that same manifest presence of holiness comes when you speak his name to a sickness or a situation. It's the same power. So we're going to pray right now. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to say, Holy Spirit, bring to my mind right now, in Jesus' name, any situation where I need the power of the Lord to manifest change right now. Matthew 21:22 and John 14:13 and 14 says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for. And if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it so that the Father is glorified in me. Take a deep breath. Whatever that thing is in your life, you need the power of God to move. We're going to pray these words. I want you to repeat after me. Lord, you are El Elyon. You are Yahweh, the great I am. And nothing is impossible for you. Lord, you see my situation. You see the people involved. Yahweh, manifest your presence in this situation until everyone involved walks in humility, surrendered to you, walks in wisdom, aligned with your perfect will. Silence the mouth of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to put in the chat what you are believing God to move through in your life. God is all powerful, all knowing, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He's got it. Believe in your mind, believe in your heart that he's moving. Amen. All right. The name of God that is all sufficient one is El Shaddai. It also means Lord God Almighty. El Shaddai, we find first in Genesis 17, 1 and 2, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai, right? He says, walk before me faithfully and be blameless, and then I will make my covenant between you and will greatly increase your numbers. Remember, this is God's covenant with Abram. And when Abram heard it, his first reaction in verse 17 was to fall face down and start laughing. because it seems impossible. 99 years old, and his wife is 90. And he's like, God's like, dude, you guys are going to be the people who bring the multitudes. And he's like, what? Falls to the ground laughing. With the reality that this is a natural impossibility, we must let God Almighty, El Shaddai, overwhelm us. Those moments when we go, yeah, that's impossible. Let me tell you, nothing is impossible with God. Over the last 14 years, I've had the privilege of praying for medically barren couples told they cannot have children. They cannot have children. Medically, whatever happened, burst fallopian tube, cancer in the cervix, no sperm count, you name it. I've prayed for it. And people say, don't pray for, you know, mates and don't pray for babies. And I'm like, I'm praying for whatever the Lord says, pray for. And I'm telling you now, I have had the privilege of meeting almost all of the 65 miracle babies born to barren couples, medically barren, because God is the God of the impossible. Come on. We have this couple in our ministry. I met them in a house meeting. The power of God blew the woman backwards on the ground. The husband stood there shaking like crazy. And they were pregnant the next day. How is that possible? They were told for 8 years, you cannot have children. But they were so determined that God, who is El Shaddai, would overshadow them. And that's exactly what he did. And their little boy is named Shepherd, and he is 3 years old. And we are believing God for another baby for them. Listen. We featured their story on our television series on Angel Network called Miracle, and it is so exciting. I was just with them in Southern California to watch the trajectory of what's happened with them ministering to other people, because out of the impossibility in the natural, the supernatural God moved on their behalf. Now, they are not afraid of praying for anything. And when they pray, mountains move. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. I'm praying over this chat right now that you, Lord, would move mightily, that you would create a brand new mitral valve. I pray that for Julia and her husband right now in Jesus' name. I pray the blood of Jesus over that mitral valve. And I thank you, Father, that you do creative miracles in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And for Stacy, Lord, who wants to know her true identity, Holy Spirit, would you make your word come alive to her? Would she see throughout the New Testament in Paul's writings who we are in Christ Jesus, and that she will never, ever be affected by the spirit of rejection again. I just pray, Stacy, healing over your mind, body, and soul in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, all over the Middle East for the gospel of Jesus Christ to begin to spread. And Lord, no matter in the middle of war, you are the king. You reign, you rule over the Middle East. And so, Father, we declare your glory over the nations of the Middle East, especially Iraq, especially Iran, especially Israel and Pakistan. Father, we just thank you right now for Nina and her husband. I ask what you did, Lord, for Shepherd's parents, you would do for them, that you would bring them a child, a miracle baby in the name of Jesus, the fertile womb, high sperm count in Jesus' name, whatever's blocking that. We say no to the enemy, and we thank you, Father, for your provision in Jesus' name. We just pray for Janice right now for the healing of spinal stenosis. Father, we've seen you remove mountains in that area. I just pray, Janice, right now, no more pain in your body in Jesus' name. No more pain, no more depression, no more fear in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that what is impossible with doctors is possible through you. Mark 11:24 says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. Hallelujah. I want you to pray right now with me. Everybody say, Lord, you are El Shaddai. You are God Almighty. You are Lord of the impossible. Pray, the things I face now that are impossible to solve in the natural, I declare, El Shaddai, mighty Jesus, you can change it. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to bring the manifestation of Jesus into my life and my circumstances without limit. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. Listen, you guys, you need to know this one. This is Jehovah Gibor Milkamah. That's a mouthful. Jehovah Gibor Milkamah. What does that mean? That means the Lord, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Come on, you need it. You need it. We're in a battle. Aren't we in a battle here? But listen, we're not trying to obtain victory. We have victory on the cross. We are standing in a place of victory, and we are believing God for the full manifestation of that victory in and through our lives. So because Jesus is on the throne and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, you and I are literally El Bethel. We are the house of God. And God is building up his house, living stones as a testimony. People who worship God and declare victory, the victory of Jesus over our lives. All right, you ready? We're going to pray again about the victory of Jesus in our lives. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, show me the place where I need the manifestation of victory. All right, here we go. Lord, say, Lord, your word says, if you are for me, who can be against me? Jesus, you overcame the world so I could live in victory. Lord, you said, if we are quick to confess our sins, you come and you bring cleansing from all unrighteousness. In the battles of my life, I confess I have not always acted in the manner pleasing to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive those who've come against me. I break every word curse and every judgment I have spoken or thought of against them. I ask that you bless them, even if they don't deserve it. Cause your righteousness to rain down on my battle and to bring truth, fairness, honor, integrity into the middle of it for your swift and supernatural resolution. Lord, whatever is owed to me, I thank you that Jesus repaired the breach and he will bring back what is mine by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Put that in the chat, what you believe that God has given you victory in, the battle that God has given you victory in. A couple more things. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is the God of glory, El Hakabod. His glory is as constant as your heartbeat. His glory never waxes and wanes. His glory never ends. Amen. Health and finances. Amen over your family. Amen, God, that the sensitivity to your spirit is increasing. So God's glory can never be subtracted from or added to. Isn't that something? Ah, come on. You can't add to God's glory. You can only participate in it. It's the best. There's no stress, right?
That's amazing.
It is. I mean, you got to think about that. We cannot add to the glory because he's perfect within himself, the Godhead, wow. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You get to participate as a house of glory, shining, right? You've got Matthew 5:16 that says, let your light shine before people so that they see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven. Your life is like this massive mirror of glory. Everywhere you go, you're pouring out God's spirit without measure. It's your mandate to let the glory of God shine through your life. So think about for a minute, where's the place in your life you're the most intimidated to share your faith? Maybe you like, I'm good in church. I'm good in the Starbucks. Don't ask me to share it with the cubicle next to me at my office. Or don't ask me to step out and pray for somebody at the grocery store. I'll do it in my little small group, but I'm not doing it out there. Wherever you have the most intimidation about shining the glory of God, it's time for breakthrough.
Amen.
It's time for breakthrough. Wherever those places of intimidation are, you have the ability to pray. I want to share a moment. I was in Mississippi, and there were a couple of huge tables with our big ministry team and the ministry team from the church, about 18 people at a table. And we had two or three of these big tables. And we're in the middle of chatting, talking. We got to go to the airport right after this. So everybody's like, hey, God did all this amazing stuff all weekend. Wow, you know? And all of a sudden, I felt the power of God hit me on this side of my head. And I that happens to me frequently. So I was like, what's going on, Lord? And he said, look up at the waitress. And I look up, and I'll be clear with you and honest. I hadn't been paying too much attention to the waitress because I was talking to the pastors and I had a bunch of people around me. I looked up and saw this waitress running like a crazy person. She had almost all of the people at the tables by herself. And the Lord said, do you see her? I said, yes, Lord. He said, when she comes back here, take her hand and pray for her. So she comes back to the table and I grab her hand and I go, hey, can I pray for you? And she just looks at me. I know she's not a believer. This is in the middle of mayhem. People are blah, 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 blah. It's just like loud and crazy, and it's a concrete floor and it's echoing everywhere. And I looked at her and I said, wow, you need to know something. I said, you're not stuck here. And the Lord said, say it three times. You're not stuck here. You're not stuck here. You're not going to be a waitress forever. And boom, her eyes just filled with tears. She began to cry. And I squeezed her hand and I said, and you just left an abusive relationship. And this is all words of knowledge from the Lord. In the moment when you risk, you're expecting that God's going to give you the whole download beforehand. If that was true, then you wouldn't need God. You must be reliant in every moment. He only gave me one directive, hold her hand and pray for her. And then he began to reveal. She said, I left my abusive boyfriend last night. I'm homeless. I said, listen, I know that you don't know God, but he knows you, and he knows that you want to be a cosmetologist. She goes, what? I said, you want to do hair and nails. That's what you want to do with your life, but you don't have any money to go to school. And she is sobbing now. She says, how do you know these things? And I said, because Jesus loves you, and he knows you, and he sees you. And I turn to my spiritual son, and I go, get money like this. They know. We do this in restaurants and places where we are. He goes and collects piles of money from our team. Everybody knows better by now. We just empty our wallets of whatever we have. And we gave this waitress a pile of money. And we said, we believe in you. She goes, I need to know Jesus. She gives her life to Christ in a moment. We bless her with all this capital because we believe in what's on her life. Do you know that this is what happens when the glory of God shines through in a moment? Prophetic encouragement doesn't come through people like me because I have a title of reverend. It comes through me because I'm a child of God. It comes through you because you're a child of God. Hallelujah. You need to let it out. The shining light is encouragement, kindness, hope, generosity, faithfulness. It's love that looks like something. So the next time you're running around, ask the Lord where he wants to release his glory and be obedient and do it. The Lord is your friend. The Lord is our shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah. The Lord is my shepherd. And you need to know that the Lord is always present, right? We've been talking about that. That's Jehovah Shema. Jehovah Emeka is the Lord remains with you. He's in you. He's on you. The Lord is faithful, El Emunah. You can always count on him to be the strength in your heart. That's Elohim Mauzi in Hebrew, the God of your strength. And then some of you need to know he's the God who is your refuge. Think about it. You know, even when David went hiding from Saul in a cave, God had his back, didn't he? He always is your refuge. That's Jehovah Moxi. And most of us know because we sing the song Jireh, you know, we know Jehovah Jireh is God, our provider. And the first mention of God is found as Jireh in Genesis 22:14, where God provided a ram to be sacrificed instead of Isaac. Isn't that something? In Genesis 22, 1 through 8, it's very interesting that Isaac says, "Where's the lamb?" to his father. And prophetic faith and foresight, Abraham responds, God himself will provide the burnt offering. The New Testament tells us that Abraham believed God would raise Isaac from the dead. We know that in Hebrews 11, 19. Listen, everybody, faith and the declaration of who God is with thanksgiving in your heart will align your faith with taking action. But if you and I reduce God to the sum of our experiences with him, we will never be overwhelmed by his majesty. We will always reduce his size and his impact down to our experience. We cannot do that. We must align with the word of God and the word of truth. Hallelujah. I love your comments. I'm reading what everybody is saying, all of the words and the names of God. I implore you to do your own study. This will spark your faith in new ways. Matthew 17, 20 says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, if you have the faith, what? As small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move." And then I love the last part of that phrase, "Nothing will be impossible for you." All right? James 1, 6. I'm trying to build your faith this morning. James 1, 6 says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind." All right? So we're going to declare God's provision over your life right now. We're going to do a couple more of these. And then I'm going to look at the chat again. I want to see what you're saying. But in this moment, we're declaring Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. So I want you to say, "Father God, we declare that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord who provides. Holy Spirit, bring us into a place of awe. Bring us into a place of wonder for the Lord and his perfect ability to provide for us in every area of life. Jesus, we thank you for the provision of fill in the blank. What is it? What are you pressing in for? What is it? Thank you, Lord, for the provision of whatever this is." State it out loud. And then follow this. "We trust you, Lord, that you have for us more than we can imagine, hope, dream, or even think." Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that for Janet, you are overwhelming her with your majesty that is bigger than her circumstances. Lord, I thank you for Shardai to be able to have the money to start this veterans nonprofit. Lord, you want to take care of the veterans. So we just pray in Jesus' name that you'd bring in, Lord, just a plethora of capital for that in Jesus' name, and for Patricia building her business in Jesus' name. For Crystal to know without a shadow of a doubt her purpose. Lord, I pray for the Haitian prison ministry in Jesus' name, for Laura to be able to start that. For Michael, he needs a new job, Lord. You see what he needs. And so in Jesus' name, Jireh, provide for your son. Lord, we thank you for the payment of Bible colleges. We thank you for the paying off of houses. We thank you for a daughter's employment. We thank you, Lord, for all these nonprofits people are wanting to start. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the provision in families. All right, last couple of things. The God who sees in Genesis 16, 13 is El Roy. Hagar in the middle of the desert with her son dying and she's dying. They have nothing. And here comes God. Here comes God. El Roy, she calls him El Roy. You're the God who sees me in the middle of my desert. He is the God who sees you in the middle of yours. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He is Jehovah Nisi, the God who has a banner waving over your life. And the banner is called love, pure love, agape love, true love. You know, that word Jehovah Nisi is also the Lord, my miracle. Isn't that something? He waves a banner over you that says, I'm your miracle. Hello, look up here. Here I am. I'm your miracle. And you and I, we live in this tension of the kingdom that is now and the kingdom that is not yet. Renewal theology that we are part of as a Vineyard movement that manifests now and in the not yet. But we are to live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. So you can't, and I can't, determine if God's going to move now or in the later. Yours and my job and privilege is to pray without ceasing. So if you need healing in your body right now, I want you to stand up wherever you are. If you're in your car, that's probably not possible. But if you are at home, if you're in your living room, you're on your phone, stand up. You need healing in your body? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we declare the fulfillment of the gospel of Jesus that includes healing in the atonement. We pray right now for backs to be healed in the name of Jesus. New discs, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, I speak over autoimmune disease, especially diabetes. I thank you for brand new pancreases in Jesus' name. Father, I speak to everything that's out of whack with hormones and stress chemicals in the body in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the one who's suffering from esophageal trouble and GERD, acid reflux, in the name of Jesus. We speak over, Lord, stomach disorder, chronic, I feel like it's Crohn's disease and even celiac disease, allergens, food allergies, all of these things in the name of Jesus. Father, we speak over these conditions and we command healing in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we say, fall on your people right now. Fall on your people and do a miracle, just like you did healing fourth stage cancer 2 weeks ago. Father, we just speak to all maladies in the body. And we say Jesus's blood flows through you. You have the DNA of Christ. So Father, we thank you right now for your healing power flowing in and through your people in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I want you to put your hand somewhere on your body and just say, I receive what Jesus has paid for. I receive complete healing, whatever that thing is, whether it's your blood pressure or eczema or your eyes, Lord, eczema on your skin, whatever the condition is, heart disease, chest pains, back pain, neck pain, hip pain, in Jesus' name. If you've inherited anything from your family line like arthritis, declare the blood of Jesus that severs you from receiving what your family line dictated. You have the DNA from above. You're born again of Christ. Declare his healing authority over your body in Jesus' name. Now, if you had a physical malady, I want you to try something you couldn't do. Move your body around. If you had back pain or neck pain, see how it is. See if you can move. If it's your eyesight, see how it is. See if you can see. If you have arthritis in your hands, start moving your hands and see if it's any different. If you have any difference in your body, I want you to put that in the chat. We want to see. We want to celebrate. And we want to give God all the glory. We just speak to any neuropathic pain in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, extend your faith to what Jesus paid for. Right here, meeting in the middle. Your whole neck just cracked. Hallelujah, Crystal. Right now, complete healing. Julie, we've seen healing of schizophrenia in the name of Jesus. We speak to your brain chemistry and we speak complete healing right now. Complete healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you that there's less pressure in Crystal's head. All the joint pain is gone in Samantha's body. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. God, we thank you. All the pain is gone in Robin. We thank you for the heel cord pain that's gone in Nancy. God, we give you all the praise. All the praise and all the honor. We thank you, Lord. Just stop for a moment and clap for Jesus and say, thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you have no limits and no boundaries. You can move through technology, Lord. We're so grateful for that. We thank you that you continue to pour out your spirit without measure. Right now, thank you that it's better. The right hip and sciatic pain right now, the fullness of that. We just saw you heal that a couple days ago, Lord. We thank you for the fullness of the healing breakthrough. God, we thank you that your heart is beating more evenly now, Eloise. Thank you. Thank you. You've not been able to do a squat, Samantha, and now you can. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the tingling in Janice's legs, Lord. We just say no more to neuropathic pain, no more pain in her legs, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, you are so incredible. I just did a healing night on Daystar TV a couple of weeks ago, and we saw God move through the telephone. I mean, people were just getting healed left and right. It was so amazing. Psalm 16:11 says, he makes known to us the path of life, and his life is perfect peace. I want to share one more thing for you. Pretty soon we're going to be going to a break, but I know that I want to share this one thing. The word shalom, and it's Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. But do you know that shalom in the Hebrew, it's complete, perfect fullness. It conveys contentment, wholeness, well-being, health, harmony. It includes your welfare. It includes your safety. It includes your soundness of mind and body. It includes tranquility, prosperity. Come on, perfectness, fullness, rest. It includes the absence of agitation and discord. Come on, somebody. We need that. His perfect peace keeps our hearts right before him. And the standard Western, our Christian Western understanding of shalom is, you know, it's kind of shallow. It's the absence of conflict, it's security, it's freedom, and the idea of tranquility. Okay, but actually in Hebrew, here's what it means. There are four pictures in the Hebrew. So because the Hebrew language is pictorial, right? So the four pictures of the word shalom in Hebrew are the word shin, S-H-I-N, and that means teeth. All right, hang on, stay with me. The word lamed, L-A-M-E-D, that means a shepherd's staff with the hook on it. All right, so far we got teeth and we got a shepherd's staff, all right? The third picture of the word shalom is the word vav, V-A-V, and that means a nail or a hook. A nail or a hook. And the last picture looks like a bunch of waves. It's the word mem, M-E-M, and it means a flood or a tsunami. So we've got teeth, a shepherd's rod, a nail or a hook, and a flood or a tsunami. So here is something for you to take with you everywhere you go. The true meaning of the Hebrew word shalom means to destroy the authority connected with chaos and confusion. The teeth of Jesus, the teeth of Jesus, the shepherd, the teeth of Jesus destroys, right? The shepherd's rod rules in authority. The hook connects and disconnects, and the tsunami that represents chaos and confusion is annihilated. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, Jesus Christ, has destroyed all of the authority of the enemy in your life connected to chaos and confusion. That's the promise of God in your life, and he has birthed his ministry in you of love and peace to spread everywhere you go. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you. Last thing, related words to shalom. The Hebrew word shalem means pay for, and the word shulam means fully paid. Jesus Christ is Sir Shalom. He is the very presence of peace, and he fully paid for it, so you don't have to work for it. Isn't that the most amazing thing ever? So, Father, I pray that the shalom peace, Jehovah Shalom, you are the anchor of our soul. And your word says that if we are stayed on you in our mind, in our hearts and our souls, you keep us in that perfect peace, separated from chaos and confusion in the world. Lord, we're covered by your supernatural shalom, and your countenance of peace belongs to us forevermore. We can live here. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. That was amazing, Joanne. Hey, just thank you for sharing just what the Lord has shown you through all of those of who He is. Amen. Not just what He does, but who He is. I really love that. And it's really obvious that you are carrying a gift of faith. That, you know, there's those gifts that come upon you and those that are just kind of wired in you. And I kind of sense like you have just a gift of faith. And I've really felt that impartation. And even just the, you know, like I want everybody just to really take heart. I mean, obviously we're recording this so you can watch it again, but you know, there is power of life and death in the tongue. And I can tell, Joanne, that you really take that seriously. You know, that's Proverbs 18:21, that what you declare, what you speak over yourself. And so maybe even some of those, you know, we'll have a transcript of this, but maybe we can even just grab some of those prayers. Like I know you seem to be very intentional about what you speak over yourself. And that could be just very helpful for people as they're contending for God's promises in their life.
Yeah, it's really important to be able, you guys, we live in a natural world, it's a fallen place, right? And it's really easy to get caught up in the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age is offense. The spirit of the age is anxiety. The spirit of the age is confusion. And the spirit of the age is blame. We need to pull back from our engagement with the spirit of the age and understand that if we really are living in this position as children of God, that what we speak, we actually lend our power to whatever we speak with our mouths. And I don't come from a word of faith camp, so I'm not even that. What I am is the word of God. The Amen. Word of God always produces good fruit. And so if we can speak what the word of God promises, I mean, we've seen people healed of cancer because they speak the word of God. And I think sometimes in our charismatic Christianity, we declare things, but we forget about the power of the word of God on our lips. And so, you know, clearly, and as Daniel articulated so well, you know, the power of life and death is in the tongue. And whatever you declare with your mouth, you're basically launching arrows at somebody or yourself by what you think and say, or you are projecting the firepower of the Holy Spirit into situations and over people and over yourself. I'd rather do that, you know?
Amen.
I mean, that's
so good.
A way more exciting life.
Amen. That's so good. All right, well, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and so we're going to come back at 11:06 Central Standard Time, so just in 10 minutes, and give us all a breather, and we'll be back right here, and so we'll see you in about 10.